Today is Saturday, January 21st. Two separate presidents and two separate allegations of mishandling classified documents. Today, we are taking a look at the investigations into President Biden and former President Trump. And later, a former White House ethics lawyer explains what's typically in classified documents and why he says the system our government uses to keep track of them is seriously flawed. But first, I'm joined by well-known criminal defense attorney Randy Zellin. He'll compare the Biden and Trump cases from a legal perspective. What's the same? What's different? How prosecutors might move forward? And what role politics may play in it all? Welcome, welcome to the Newsworthy Special Edition Saturday, when we sit down with a different expert or celebrity every Saturday to talk about something in the news. Don't forget to tune in every Monday through Friday for our regular episodes, where we provide all the day's news in 10 minutes. I'm Erica Mandy. It's now time for today's Special Edition Saturday. Randy Zellin, thank you for joining us here on the Newsworthy.
It is a privilege to be on with you.
So first, let's just get your take on the similarities and the differences between the cases involving President Biden and former President Trump from a legal perspective, at least from what we know right now. So let's start with some of the similarities. What stands out to you?
Well, certainly the fact that you have classified documents that both got access to by virtue of their office, and the fact that documents that were classified ended up in places that apparently the National Archives and our government were unaware of.
Okay, so what's the biggest differences between these two cases that you think is important?
When President Biden learned that he had classified documents, they were immediately turned over. Conversely, as we know with now former President Trump, this was like, oh, I'll get them to you next week. Oh, I'm jammed up. Oh, I'm on vacation. Oh, the dog ate them. Oh, I'll have my people get in touch with your people. Months and months and months and months and months, leading ultimately to the government executing a search warrant because the government got tired of waiting.
Do you think that former President Trump was given more time than the average person?
Significantly more time. If that were anyone else other than former President Trump, a search warrant would have been executed almost immediately, probably followed by an arrest.
But now that there have been more and more documents found within Biden's properties or something connected to Biden, do you think a search warrant should be executed?
No, because generally speaking, a search warrant is executed when you can't get what you want voluntarily, or you have a concern that if you give someone a heads up, they will make what you are looking for disappear. And of course, when you're talking about inherently illegal or inherently dangerous things like drugs, like guns, that makes it less likely that you will necessarily give someone a heads up. But when we're talking about classified documents, particularly when you're talking about presidents and vice presidents and heads of state, the last thing you want to do is execute a search warrant. So I would agree with anyone who says that it's unprecedented that Mar-a-Lago would have been the subject of a search warrant. That's right. It is unprecedented. It's never happened before. But ultimately, the question comes down to whether that was politically motivated or was it motivated because the people in possession of the documents were not turning them over.
What about the timing of Biden's discoveries? There have been arguments that his lawyers turned them over knowing that House Republicans are going to launch investigations. What's your take on that?
I think the more disconcerting thing in terms of timing is the fact that this was not disclosed before the midterms. If, in fact, it was known prior to the midterms, I think the Biden administration has done everything right, except to the extent that they purposely withheld going public with the discovery and the cooperation until after the midterms.
So you talked about the cooperation level. How much does intent matter when you're thinking at least of what's a crime when it comes to these classified documents?
With only the rarest of exceptions, with a criminal case, there must be intent to do wrong. That wrongdoing can be intentional. Then in some instances, you can have what we call criminal negligence, which is, okay, it's not a matter of me seeing it and ignoring it. That's recklessness. I didn't see it, but I should have seen it. And the fact that I didn't see it is so horrible, so bad, that it is what we call a gross deviation from what a person is expected to do or not to do. So here, intent, whenever we're talking about a criminal case, the government is going to have to prove intent. And the inability of the government to prove intent, far more often than not, will result in either a non-prosecution or an acquittal.
My understanding is that it matters both for how the documents were kept in the first place, and then also what happened once they were discovered. Is that right?
Yes. More often than not, in my business, it's not what you did that becomes the problem. It's what you do afterwards. So, for example, former President Trump could have had a perfectly innocent explanation, much like I'm sure now President Biden's explanation is, which is, I didn't know about it. The difference is we can look at President Trump's intent by what he did or what he didn't do afterwards, the fact that he didn't cooperate, the fact that it was one excuse after another. In fact, it could rise to the level of obstruction of justice with I'm sending them. Oh, I have a tracking number. Oh, they're in the mail. It's things like that. That's another way to prove intent after the fact. And I think that's where President Trump's problems truly lie.
And didn't he say something about being able to declassify them? What did you make of that?
Yes, he said, I can declassify them in my mind. That was amusing, but the truth of the matter is it was ridiculous and maybe so ridiculous that it's actually difficult to confound that or to understand that.
Okay, so the Justice Department has appointed special counsels, different special counsels to both cases to investigate. So briefly explain the point of special counsels and what are they looking for?
What happens here is the Department of Justice is an arm of the executive branch, and it is the head person of the executive branch who's under investigation right now. So for appearances of propriety, for the appearance of neutrality and objectivity, rather than have the Department of Justice investigate its boss, special counsel, who is ostensibly neutral and detached and objective, is then put on to the task of determining whether there was any wrongdoing, and if so, what the next steps should be.
If the special counsels come to the conclusion that either or both Biden and Trump acted inappropriately or even criminally, what happens next?
Any prosecutor has the discretion whether or not to go forward with a criminal prosecution. The special counsel has those same responsibilities and the same level of discretion.
How much do you think the fear of politics getting involved will inform the special counsel's decisions?
I don't know that it will inform the special counsel's decision, but it will certainly inform the court of public opinion. I fear that this country is going to be overridden with politics and that we are going to be in a death spiral of everything that goes on is going to be politically motivated. We will be able to agree on nothing. There will be no objective truth. We will not be able to determine right or wrong. And everything will be viewed through the lens of whether you are a Republican or you are a Democrat. And our system of democracy can only tolerate so much of that dissension and division.
So why are documents classified in the first place? And how serious is it really when there's a leak? Still ahead, Richard Painter joins us. He served as the chief White House ethics lawyer for President George W. Bush. He's sharing his take on both current cases and reminds us of what happened when there was a leak while he was at the White House. But first, a quick break to thank our sponsors. The Newsworthy is brought to you by ZocDoc. If you've been wondering about a health issue for a while, maybe you've asked some friends about it, it might be time to get an expert's opinion, even if it's for nothing else but peace of mind. Well, thousands of medical professionals from a variety of specialties are available to search and find and book on ZocDoc, who are able to give you the expert care you need. ZocDoc is the only free app that lets you find and book doctors who are patient-reviewed, take your insurance, are available when you need them, and treat almost every condition under the sun. When you're not feeling your best, finding a doctor should not take up all of your energy. Millions of people use ZocDoc to find the right doctor for them. So book an appointment with a few taps in their app, and hopefully soon enough, you can start to feel better. Go to ZocDoc.com/newsworthy and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc, ZocDoc.com/newsworthy. ZocDoc.com/newsworthy. Thanks to our other sponsor, Rocket Money. In order to do things well this new year, we can't do everything on our own. We need helpful people and tools in our lives to make some things easier. Consider Rocket Money your helpful assistant when it comes to managing your money. Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill, is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills all in one place. When I signed up, I realized I was still paying for a workout app that I wasn't using anymore and a text and expert type service that I used one time but don't need. And yet I was still paying for it. Thanks to Rocket Money, I was able to cancel both subscriptions, immediately saving me at least $50 a month that I was simply wasting before. No wonder over 3 million people have used Rocket Money, saving the average person up to $720 a year. So stop throwing your money away. Cancel unwanted subscriptions and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/newsworthy. That's rocketmoney.com/newsworthy. rocketmoney.com/newsworthy. Okay, now to my conversation with former White House chief ethics lawyer, Richard Painter. Richard Painter, thank you so much for coming on the Newsworthy.
Thank you for having me.
So first, help everybody understand why certain documents are classified in the first place. And I do want to say that one of the reasons I'm asking this is because I've heard people who think that there are classified documents simply because the government is hiding stuff or wants to be able to hide stuff versus actually putting lives at risk. Is there truth to both, or what's your take on that?
Sometimes documents are classified that should not be classified simply because they're embarrassing or there's something the government wants to conceal. But in the vast majority of cases, there is a serious national security risk if someone who is unauthorized to see those documents were to see them or share them with others.
What are some examples?
Well, sources of information are often the highest level of classification, SCI, because if a foreign power, an adversary, will find out who our sources of information are, those sources could very well end up dead. Other information ranges from nuclear secrets to the design of other weaponry, or what we know about other countries' weaponry, or what we know about other countries' covert operations abroad. There's a wide range of classified information.
And are they usually categorized as confidential, secret, and top secret?
Those are the major categories. And then SCI, which is the specialized compartmentalized information that often concerns the sources of our foreign intelligence.
So as far as you know, what types did both former President Trump and President Biden have?
Well, I've not seen the documents. Of course, I don't have a security clearance anymore. I did for the about 5 years, including the time I was in the Bush White House. But I understand there was a range of different documents in both instances, including secret, top secret, and some SCI concerning our sources of foreign intelligence. It's very, very concerning that these documents would not have been kept in a secure location where there would not be unrestricted access, as there would be in a private office or in a private home.
In both instances, for both presidents.
In the case of Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago, he had many visitors in and out of there. There should not have been classified documents at Mar-a-Lago once his presidency had ended. With respect to President Biden, he could have classified information in his home during his presidency, but not during the period of his vice presidency if he was not authorized to take it there, or certainly not after his vice presidency had ended.
So to be clear, how are classified documents supposed to be handled?
Well, unfortunately, our system is not as good as it should be. Each copy of a classified document should be registered, and the government should know where it is at any point in time. Who has it? Just as the public library knows who has a book that I've checked out. Unfortunately, they are not keeping track of classified documents in that manner, and that's how we can get into this situation.
Do you know if there's any steps being taken to change that?
I surely hope there are steps being taken. We need a much more comprehensive system, more thorough, where every classified document, the government knows who has it and who has to return it. We aren't there yet, and I think we really do need a review of our system for keeping track of classified documents.
And it's my understanding that attorneys and aides discovered some of the classified documents that were linked to Biden. Are they supposed to have access to them?
Well, they didn't know there was going to be classified documents, I believe. What happened is that the Biden Center in Washington, D.C., that is actually run by the University of Pennsylvania, had this office. He used it rarely during the time when he was campaigning and after he left the vice presidency. His private attorneys were packing up these boxes because I believe they wanted to shut down the office. They were going through and lo and behold, there's a classified document. And they're easy to spot because they have a bright red or orange cover if they are top secret or secret. And very, very easy to spot classified documents.
At the end of the day, how big of a deal do you think these cases are?
Any leak of classified information should be taken seriously. In the Bush administration in 2005, we had a leak of one piece of classified information. It was the identity of a CIA agent whose husband was very unpopular in the Bush administration because he had opposed the Iraq war. And her name was Valerie Plame. Now, some people already knew she worked for the CIA, but it was classified. And when her cover was blown to a reporter, that was the end of her career at the CIA. Just that one leak led to a grand jury investigation, the indictment of the vice president's chief of staff, who was not responsible for the leak, I don't believe, but who did not tell the truth to the grand jury. And then I was asked by President Bush to give ethics lectures to every single member of the White House staff and the National Security Council about not only ethics, but the handling of classified information. That's how we responded to the leak of just one piece of classified information.
Final thought about classified documents and what you want people to know.
What I want people to know about classified documents is exactly what I told the White House staff in 2005. Classified information is classified for a reason. It needs to be kept in a secure place. The only people who should have classified information are those who are authorized to have the classified information at that level of security and who need to have it. And it is a crime, federal crime, to intentionally misuse or disclose classified government information.
Well, thank you to our expert guests for their thoughtful insights today. You can follow both Randy Zellin and Richard Painter on Twitter. We have links to their accounts in our episode notes. And of course, we'll keep you posted about both investigations dealing with classified documents during our regular weekday episodes. Our news roundups give you a variety of the day's news in just about 10 minutes every Monday through Friday. So we'll be back on Monday. Until then, have a great weekend.